Do you suffer with chronic pain? Are you taking risky over-the-counter or prescription anti-inflammatory drugs? This is Dr. Ronald Hoppe with a better natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals, Liquid Turmeric Liposome Complex. Future Farm's liquid turmeric with liposomes and nanotechnology delivers maximum absorption for effective pain relief. Sourced and manufactured in the United States, this product contains 1,600 milligrams of curcumin and powerful antioxidant properties. This plant-based curcumin is used to possibly reduce inflammation, block proteins that trigger swelling, and intercept inflammatory pathways, significantly decreasing inflammatory responses. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Don't live with pain when there's an all-natural, science-based remedy that works. Take advantage of Future Farm's buy two, get one free offer at myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we're answering your questions. RadioProgram@AOL.com is the destination for questions. People are getting through with questions. We appreciate your participation. And what's our next question, Layla?
Oh, we have one from Catherine. My son has suffered from anxiety for the past 5 years, which has led to depression. I'm a single mom. I've tried everything. Therapy, meds, even sent him to wilderness therapy in Idaho last year.
Mm-hmm.
He did so well after that,
Nature therapy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was doing well after wilderness therapy, but back to feeling the same way again. And now he's struggling to finish 12th grade now in a therapeutic high school.
Mm-hmm.
No motivation and feel like giving up. I feel like we're back at square one again.
Yeah. Well, it's a complex problem. And, you know, apropos of that, I'll share with you that anonymously, of course, that I got an inquiry from one of our patients, a patient who mm-hmm. I treated actually last year for anxiety, because mm-hmm. why do, you know, I'm not a psychiatrist, but a lot of patients come to us for nutritional support and integrative management of depression and anxiety. And I think that there's a real place for that. Well, the
yes.
question that he posed, and this came to me through our office manager, was, dear Dr. Hoffman, you recall that you treated me for anxiety in 2019. I notice that when I wear a mask, my anxiety is worse. So could you please write me a doctor's note saying that I don't need to wear a mask? And, you know, this kind of, it's a bit of a dilemma for me. It's like, oh, how do I handle this? And what I had to write back to him was, I cannot countermand whatever federal or state or local requirements for social distancing or mask wearing, you know, and it varies from place to place. But, you know, I just don't think that I can say, oh, here's this note you can show to everybody that you don't need to wear a mask. You can walk into a store, you know, where usually they refuse admittance to people without masks, but you have a doctor's note saying, oh, you don't need to wear a mask. And, you know, because, you know, it's almost like people who have like a service animal, like, you know, you can't generally have an animal come into a supermarket or something, but
right.
if you have a doctor's note and you have a fish, you can bring
you know
a service.
What? Yeah. Speaking of, I just saw passing by my local CVS drugstore here.
Yeah.
I saw a sign in the window saying, if you have a service animal, you have to show proof.
Okay.
Before bringing that animal in.
Right.
Dr. Hoffman, do you remember the days of if you had a dog and you were going to the grocery store, typically you would leave the dog outside with you know, with the collar, with the leash kind of roped
around the dog would kind of look sad and whine, look wistfully at the
lamp.
The dog would look wistfully at the door. But then, you know, the problem is that, you know, you could leave the store and your dog could be dog-napped, you know, so. Or in that instance, it could be that the person who has whatever, you know, anxiety, claustrophobia, or whatever condition the dog is maybe an emotional support animal. You know, you're in the store, you know, you need that emotional support. But anyway, so coming back to this guy, I had to say, you know, tell the guy that I don't think I can write such a note. It never happened to me. This is kind of a new circumstance that I I've never encountered before, but I just don't think I can write a note saying, oh, yeah, for you, because you have an anxiety. I mean, look, I get it. This is bad. The mask, yeah, makes the person feel, you know, breathless and, you know, constrained, and it makes their anxiety worse. But I can't, I'm sorry, I can't countermand it. But anyway, coming back to this issue of this 12th grader. First of all, you know, 12th grader is really a vulnerable age. You know, there's a very high incidence of anxiety and depression among kids.
And, well, this is for the last 5 years.
And for 5 years.
And which he's in 12th grade now.
I know, but this is adolescence. Yeah. You know, adolescence is like a very, very challenging time. So, you know, and we do deal with that a lot. So what are some of the linchpins of integrative management of anxiety and depression? Because, by the way, you know, a lot of people think, well, I don't have anxiety, I have depression, or I have depression, but I don't have anxiety. Those two things are inextricably linked.
Yes.
You know, that it's sort of like, you know, on a 45 RPM record, it's like the flip side of the record. You know, they're very closely aligned. So,
In a teenager.
Yeah.
I mean, a teenage boy, the first place I look is, what are you eating?
Exactly.
And we start there.
Boom. And then we look at essential fatty acids. I mean,
yes.
I love to do essential fatty acid profiles on adolescents because we see abysmal levels of omega-3 fatty acids. A lot of kids are fastidious eaters, or they eat junk, and they have too much in the way of omega-6 and not enough in omega-3, not enough DHA in the brain, and, you know, predisposes to, you know, mental and emotional problems. You know, we would supplement with magnesium. You know, we would
supplement with B vitamins as well, I think is helpful.
Absolutely. Theanine would be something that has a bit of a calmative effect. You know, we would certainly prescribe some form of regular exercise. And, you know, the wilderness experience, I think, is a good one because it kind of, you know, you want to focus on dealing with the external physical challenges of life rather than marinating inside, you know, as many kids do, and experience virtual reality through social media, you know.
Yeah.
So
and social media has been shown to cause depression.
No question.
Yeah.
And, you know, show me a 12th grader who's not glued to social media. I mean, that's a bit of a problem. But it's kind of a chicken and egg problem, because the more anxious and depressed you are, the more you, you know, resort to that. And the more you do that, the more you see, you know, the artificial life of others portrayed in an unrealistic fashion, in a fashion that can cause envy and can cause a feeling of inferiority and, you know, exclusion. It's challenging. Not every kid or adult responds to nutritional support. You know, we also look at the inflammation as a, you know, brain inflammation is associated with it. So we might use things like curcumin. You know, we might use amino acids. You know, you've used them in the past with patients, you know, things like tryptophan or hydroxytryptophan.
IVHC.
Yep.
And also P5P is helpful, that particular B vitamin.
Yep.
So,
which is an activated form of vitamin B6, has a relaxing effect. You know, so.
I would also look for food allergies and tolerances, you know, while cleaning up the diet, getting rid of any processed
the
food,
microbiome,
excess sugars, the whole microbiome.
Yeah, because there's a brain-gut connection, and, you know, there's many avenues to explore in holistic management of anxiety and depression.
Yeah,
and
blood sugar imbalances might be another thing.
Big time.
There are very erratic eaters.
Instability of blood sugar can trigger anxiety, absolutely.
Yeah.
But, you know, Is it surprising that kids and young people in this current environment have anxiety? I think that's an appropriate reaction to the circumstances of life in 2020. You know, there's a lot to be anxious about.
Right.
You know, the problems of you know, racism and social injustice, the problems of you know,
pandemic.
pandemic, career prospects, you know, the nature of, you know, school and college and, you know, that whole treadmill of academic achievement.
Not to mention the cost of it all, right?
Yeah. So it is not a, it's not a cheerful prospect, I think, for a lot of kids.
Yeah.
And if you listen to some of the commencement addresses this year, they're very bittersweet, you know. You know, basically saying, yeah, the times are tough, you know, we're encouraging resilience. That's the key word, is, you know, build resilience so that you can. But, you know, if you look at it in a historical context, you know, you got to say that there's some pretty awful circumstances that kids faced in, you know, 1914, you know, with the advent of World War One. You know, in 1939, with the advent of fascism.
Depression.
And, you know, the World War.
The World War, right.
But, you know.
I was also thinking the Depression in 1929. Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, these things. But, you know, those things, in some ways, sometimes external circumstances that are challenging can buck people up, you know, rise, the people rise to the occasion. It's almost sometimes, you know, when there's not enough challenge or there's not a tangible threat, that's when people go to pieces. So we're in a kind of a funny
adversity
time right
introduces
now.
Us to ourselves.
Yes. Yes.
I think is the phrase.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, but this is, you know, over the past few years, you and I have treated probably quite a large number of kids like this, right?
Yes.
And, and the results range from, you know, nutrition doesn't cut it, to nutrition can revolutionize the outlook of a kid.
Change their lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
It can be a real paradigm shifter, even for kids who didn't respond to, say, medication, you know?
Yeah.
So, but you don't know until you try, and it's an avenue really worth exploring.
Mm-hmm. True. Absolutely. Oh, Catherine, I wish you all the best of luck.
Yeah, it is very challenging for a parent. It's nothing, I think, as demoralizing for a parent than to see their child not thriving and being unhappy, you know?
Yeah.
And you feel powerless and you can't, you have a sense, you know, did I do something wrong, you know?
Yes.
And
where did I fail as a parent? There's always that, right?
And there are always environmental factors, but there are also genetic factors. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some things that are out of parents' control in terms of the environment in which kids live that parents can't shield them from, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. True.
It's a true tragedy of our time. All right. Good point at which to pause, because we want to allow one of our sponsors an opportunity to share an important message with you. This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by True Niagen Pro. When a virus attacks a cell, a vital coenzyme called NAD may decline up to 80%. NAD is essential to defend the cell, to repair the cell, and to restore energy. True Niagen Pro, also known as nicotinamide riboside, can increase NAD. True Niagen Pro promotes cellular repair and energizes your cells. True Niagen Pro, cellular defense for life. For more information to purchase, go to drhoffman.com/TrueNiagenPro. That's True, T-R-U. drhoffman.com/TrueNiagenPro. Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource to you. And we value all our great sponsor partners. So back to questions, Layla. What's next?
We have one, and I'm reading this question. This is from Devaki, and I believe Devaki used some kind of a translator app, and I'd like to read it in this way that it was translated.
You think that's somebody who's from the Indian subcontinent?
Possibly, sure.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Please say me how to normal my ESR and CRP level in natural way.
Good.
That's actually not a bad translation.
Okay, great.
Right? Okay. Yeah.
I can understand it.
Yes. Yeah. This is a 28-year-old male.
Right.
Who has a high CRP and ESR and is concerned.
Okay. Well, those are both signs of inflammation.
Yeah.
And inflammation can be caused by a pathogen. It could be an infection or even some sort of internal imbalance like a form of dysbiosis. It could come from inside, but could it also be related to excess weight? Fat cells promote inflammation.
Inflammatory cytokines that are secreted mm-hmm. by that fat depot, in the body.
Mm-hmm. Also an imbalance of essential fatty acids, so mm-hmm. we think that fish oil is wonderful for reducing CRP and ESR. Also curcumin could have benefits. I think I wrote an article about this a couple of years ago about all the nutrients that could help with that. There's even some studies that suggest that an ordinary multivitamin or magnesium could have an impact on sed rate and C-reactive protein. So those are some of the concerns. It's useful to track it down and see if there's a specific causation. But mm-hmm. with the data that we have, we just know there's an isolated lab value.
Right.
But, I mean, if you want to just cookbook it, try fish oil, try curcumin. These are some of the things. Vitamin D,
Vitamin D, absolutely.
Immune modulating effect in a good way on the inflammation.
He's a 28-year-old male. I don't want to presume that he's healthy. We don't know.
Right.
And, people freak out a little bit when they see a high ESR or CRP, but I will ask them, did you have a cold or an infection when mm-hmm. you had your blood drawn? Yes, I did. Well, that could be the reason. That you're better, let's go get it checked again or something.
Even even very heavy exercise can transiently increase your, not so much your sed rate, but your
CRP.
Yeah.
Because of the muscle damage. I don't
it's
like to call it damage.
Yeah, it's a
but the micro tears from exercise and mm-hmm. muscle. Yep. Can cause that kind of inflammation, mm-hmm. sure. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there are many reasons. High blood sugar, maybe Devaki is diabetic. That could be a reason because mm-hmm. high blood sugar will equal high inflammation as well, especially CRP.
Yep.
Not so much ESR, right?
Okay. Yep, absolutely.
So many reasons here.
Mm-hmm.
So before embarking on how to lower it, find out why it's high.
Right.
Yeah.
Could it be a sign of something, an underlying cause that we need to address?
Right. Okay. Devaki, thank you for writing us. Okay. Let us know what you find out. Email us again.
It's funny. I know a woman named Devaki.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that, okay. You know, I guess.
This was a man. Yeah.
I know. It's a unisex name, I guess.
Okay. We've got an email from Judy. Should you take zinc picolinate with food or with certain vitamins?
Not necessary. It's not.
I take it with food. I would take it with food.
Unless it's
a lozenge.
Right. The reason you would take it with food is that zinc is a little hard on the stomach.
Yeah.
So if you take zinc on an empty stomach, it can sometimes give you a little stomach discomfort. But it generally, things that should be taken with food are fat-soluble things like coenzyme Q10. They're absorbed better. Lycopene, those are the vitamin E, things like that, tocotrienols. Mm-hmm. Things that are fat soluble, even vitamin D, could be better absorbed. These are the fat soluble nutrients. Mm-hmm. I guess you're right, Leila, is that for, comfort, so it doesn't just clink, hit your empty stomach.
Yeah.
And then cause distress, you might want to take a little something with it.
Right. I want to address the other part of her question. Should you take zinc with certain vitamins? If you're taking a high amount of zinc for a good period of time, you want to make sure it's balanced with copper.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're already taking a multi, there is some copper there.
Mm-hmm.
And don't forget, you're also getting some sources of copper in your food if you're eating well. And that should pretty much take care of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but
what's the ratio? Yeah, I would say it's probably for 30 milligrams of zinc, you may take a milligram of copper.
Right, 1 to 3 milligrams of copper.
Right.
Normally in a multi, I'll see 15 to 20 milligrams of zinc and 1, maybe 2.5 mm-hmm. milligrams of copper, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Judy, for that question. We have an email from Lori. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, first of all, heartfelt thanks for all that you share. You're such a wise and caring guiding light. Oh, thank you, Lori.
It's all an act.
It's all an act. We're just putting it on for you here.
I went to the method acting school, and they said, you know, like, do wise and caring. You know, so after right. much practice, we were able to.
There we go.
Right.
Yes. Okay. Sending an Emmy your way, Dr. H. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Lori's asking, can I take aged garlic when I cannot have any soy?
There's a little bit of a non sequitur there. Is there?
Yeah.
Is there?
Well,
some,
here's the thing. There might be a little bit of soy in kaolic, possibly.
Yeah.
If there is a little bit of soy in kaolic, I'm not concerned about it.
Yeah.
Because the amount of soy that you might have in a supplement, like a soy lecithin or something, that's really insignificant.
Yeah.
It's different than if you're regularly having some tofu or drinking a glass of soy milk or putting soy creamer in your coffee every day, something like that.
Yeah.
Aged garlic is just fine.
I think we get the same kind of question around vitamin E. A lot of vitamin E is soy derived. So people see soy and they go, oh my goodness, you know, soy is bad. You know, soy, I've got a hormonal cancer or I've got, you know, super indigestion when I eat soy. But the amount of soy residue there is infinitesimal. And, you know, there are people who have anaphylaxis to peanuts. You know, they can die from a minimal amount. Occasionally that occurs with shellfish and occasionally it occurs with eggs, but it rarely, very rarely occurs with soy that people are going to get, you know, some sort of pronounced reaction from infinitesimal amounts. I don't see it as a problem.
Yeah. 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 So Lori, go ahead and take some kaolic if that's what you're talking about, aged garlic. There are so many benefits. It's good for blood pressure. It's good for coronary arteries. It's
immunity, you know.
Immunity, it's all good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I could expound on that, but, you know, we do so much on this program to make people aware of the benefits of aged garlic extract that, you know, you can listen to one of the podcasts that we've done and get the full 411 on that.
Okay.
We have time for one more question.
We have time for one more question. Okay. And this comes from Ezra. Dr. Hoffman, are there foods and supplements that might help a diabetic support, protect, and even restore peripheral nerve function? My A1C is great now, but it was too high for years before my late onset type 1 diagnosis.
Oh, okay. So this is insulin-dependent diabetes.
Yeah.
Very much so. And alpha-lipoic acid is probably the key player
for
diabetic peripheral neuropathy.
Yeah. I would add to that benfotiamine along with a B-complex just to get that extra thiamine.
Maybe even B12 shots, you know, to promote nerve transmission. But the dosage of alpha-lipoic acid, you know, may vary. Some studies suggest as high as 3,000 a day. And normally it's available as, you know, 300 or 500 or even up to 600. And so you might have to take more to achieve that benefit.
Mm-hmm.
But it definitely, there's some pretty good literature supporting the use of alpha-lipoic acid for diabetic peripheral neuropathy. Now, the question is, you know, is it better at preventing it or can it reverse it to some extent? I've noticed that you can get some degree of reversal. Also, with diabetic peripheral neuropathy, you might try applying capsaicin cream to the surface because that has a bit of a, you know, capsaicin cream has a neutralizing effect on nerve pain. You know, applied topically to the surface. I mean, it's sort of a burny cream. It's like hot pepper cream, but it by distraction, it can actually help the pain and discomfort of diabetic peripheral neuropathy. I also might, you know, if it's very painful, I might suggest CBD and or, you know, either topically or taken orally, or even, you know, if it's very painful, you might even be eligible for medicinal marijuana, which could really you know, appreciably ameliorate the discomfort.
Okay. Ezra, there you have it. And yep. Your diet, your carbohydrate intake, as well as your insulin should be very tightly controlled. You probably mm-hmm. already know that, but these are very good supplemental herbs. I would add berberine to the mix.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Just because mm-hmm. CM core type of thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And just as to mention that, you know, we mentioned products sometimes, they're available in full script. Mm-hmm. You can go to drhoffman.com and click on the store. And if you sign up for the store, you'll have access to the products there.
Yep. Okay. Ezra, best of luck to you.
Well, that's all the time that we have for today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
Wow.
Having to do with your questions. Radio program at AOL.com is the destination for questions. Keep them coming. Stay safe. That's the
yes.
new greeting, isn't it, these days? Stay safe.
Mm-hmm. Stay safe. Stay safe. Multiple. And this too shall pass.
Right. And I may eventually get a haircut. That will be a banner day. Then we'll really know that we've emerged from COVID-19.
There you go.
Thanks, Leila.
Thanks, Dr. Hoffman. Thank you, everybody.
Take
Stay
care.
Well.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Leila Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.